What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 11th, and yes, we're going to talk about baseball. Priests or famine? Are we going to have a good version of Quinn Priester moving forward? Are we going to get more of the same? Because we just got 6 innings, 1 run, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts against Atlanta in Milwaukee. That's amazing. And also, I don't buy it for a second. His sinker was honestly really lucky, but not unlucky. He allowed a lot of hits. He had 6 hits on 10 balls in play. However, I don't really think it's a very good pitch. And I think that the cutter and slider are fine, but they're not this good. He shouldn't be going 6 innings of 1-run ball with 7 strikeouts and no walks, right? That's not really the kind of guy that I watched in this one. He's kind of going also Cannibal McSanchez with those high cutters, and he does have good sliders against righties at times, but I really do feel as if that sinker is going to continue allowing a lot of hits, and he got very fortunate with the timing of those hits and how Atlanta just kind of floundered many opportunities with runners in scoring position. So I would not be going with Priester against the Cubs next, and we'll see after that if you want to stream him against his former team, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Andrew Abbott had an amazing game. Oh my gosh, 9 innings, complete game shutout, 0 runs, of course, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. Yes, you need a little bit of Koufax there with 22 outs in play and just 3 hits. And this was the best version of him. It was 93 upstairs with the four seamer for the most part. You had changeups at a 72% strike rate. And you had a 11 over 12 BABIP on the four seamer. He kind of deserved it a little bit. I would say that Andrew Abbott is good. And clearly he's doing lots of effective things. Sliders were, or really sweepers, effective against left-handers. He got those away. Sure. But does he deserve this kind of success? You know he really doesn't. And what I am curious about is if it's too big brain, it is probably, to rest him for the next start. That is not start him because he just went 110 pitches in 9 innings. And generally we do see some sort of hangover from outings like this, unless you're Tarek Skubal, of course. But I don't know if Andrew Abbott is going to be so good the rest of the year. I think you're going to roster him for now, and it doesn't really matter what I think because you're going to keep doing it anyway. But if someone is treating Andrew Abbott like a top 25 guy or something, because, I mean, hey, look at this outing, and they just want him on their teams, and they buy into it, and they're Reds fan or something like that, yeah, I would absolutely be selling him. I would also be selling him for something that is, I don't know, like the equivalent of a 5th, 6th rounder, a hitter or something along those lines, somewhere that's a clear improvement for your offense. I would certainly be doing that with Andrew Abbott. But don't drop. I mean, I'm not saying like you're going to drop in a week or two. I don't think that's going to happen either. Okay. Obviously, you're not going to drop. You know what I mean. Dylan Cease against the Dodgers. 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 5 walks, and 11 Ks for a gallows pull at 24 whiffs, 39% CSW. It was a day of some extremely good performances. And yeah, this is Dylan Cease. I know it sounds crazy for me just to say it like that, but yeah, he's a cherry bomb. You have to have some of these sweet games, even though it was 8 over 7 innings of whip, so that's a 114 whip with 5 walks. He was actually pretty good at going Blake Snell blueprint with a four-seamer up and sliders down to lefties. Actually, struck a little bit more with the same precision as he normally has against righties. He avoided the heart of the plate. He didn't give in as much. 5 walks. If it wasn't the Dodgers, then he probably would have had a much better performance without those walks. And now he has to get the Dodgers again. And you don't know what you're going to get. And you just got to do it because it's Dylan Cease. Okay. Lucas Giolito. Snip, snap. He goes every other start of doing really poorly and then really well. This was 6 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. You love that. 13 whiffs. And this was in Fenway, which is also one of the things. I've heard an argument that you only want to start Giolito on the road when he's not facing a good offense, which essentially means like 25% of the starts. You'd actually go with Lucas Giolito, which is obviously not worthwhile. But I don't buy that because I think that Lucas Giolito really is a pitcher who has a fastball that he's improved. It's 94 here. 7 feet of extension, 18 inches of vert, and he located upstairs really well in this one. And he pairs it with a changeup that was underneath it. It was very much Blake Snell blueprint against lefties, a little bit worse against righties. And the real question is, what is the number 3? It wasn't the 88, 89 mile per hour slider that he retooled and he had success with. It was really unfortunate because he showcased a reason to buy in again. And then since that first game, he hasn't really had it back. So that is the big worry I have for Giolito moving forward, is can you figure out what the third pitch is? The good news is that this is the best I've seen the four-seamer in the changeup. And now that he goes into Seattle and then goes into Oracle Park, at the very least in the short term, I'm in. Right? Then it's Toronto, but as a right-hander. And then it's Natty Light. That's a good thing, too. So I am generally a fan of this, but it is something that can fall apart quickly again, as we have seen, if his command just isn't there with his four-seamer and changeup. You know? I mean, it's... I was too aggressive earlier on because of Giolito's command, essentially, and I believed a little too much into it. However, this is kind of showcasing what I was hoping for, but I was also hoping for a better slider. So, hopefully we get that better slider moving forward. Sandy Alcantara, is he back? He got the Pittsburgh Pirates. He got the win here. 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. I'm sorry, I don't think he is. And now he gets the Phillies and Atlanta and Arizona, and I just can't do it. I think that his attack to right-handers is still not what we want to see. Not the good locations on the fastball. It's not a really good changeup in this one. The curve was better to lefties, but not really good against righties. And I am going to blame this one a little bit on the Pirates. He also did throw a strikeout in the second inning that they didn't call, and they had their 4 more pitches and more and a hit, and then fortunately got the out on the next pitch, but or actually 2-3 pitches that got out of the inning. Still, it was just Sandy deserved a little bit better. I am not in yet. I want to be so badly, but I just can't. The schedule's too tough, and he's not firing in all cylinders. He's throwing hard, though, and that's really cool. It's just a command. Mitch Spence showed up. That's pretty cool. 5 innings, 75 pitches. I didn't really expect much here from Spence. 5 innings, though, is kind of what we would hope for the most, and arguably a gold star, even though it was a right-hander against Angels, not a lefty. So 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. We are not in a situation where we want to pick up Spence because it's probably JT Ginn or Ginn returning for the next one. And it's against the Astros, which actually does play into Spence's strength of being better against righties than lefties, and kind of explains this one against the Angels, as he is throwing cutters, curveballs, and sliders effectively. He also is trying out some sinkers, whatever, but Spence is really a cutter slider guy, and I'm surprised he threw as many curveballs as he did here. And the cutter at 90 is not good news. I got excited more so in the spring about Spence because he was at 92, 93 on that cutter, and now that he's stretched out more, 75 pitches, 90 miles per hour, yeah, it can be this five-inning, five-and-dive kind of thing for Spence if he were to go again. I kind of hope they give him that runway and let him actually try to develop and into being a starter because, yeah, he does have a good cutter and a slider, and this can be effective, but I'm not quite there, and he's not an auto-add guy. He's a worse version of Drew Rasmussen. Think of it like that. Lou Trevino opened for Matt Sawyer with the Dodgers, and they just let him out to dry. I mean, they really just hung him out there. It's 4.2 innings of 9 earned runs, 13 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. Oh boy. Sawyer, you were sacrificed for that bullpen. And they really didn't have to. It was a close enough game, but they just decided not to pull him. Whatever. Jose Soriano had a ridiculously good game. This was against the Athletics. 7 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 12 strikeouts. 23 whiffs. Oh my gosh, come on. Dylan Cease, you got to take away the golden gold with a 43% CSW. That is a king cold for Jose Soriano. 110 pitches. What happened here? Sinker was at 98, but located beautifully. This was down to lefties consistently, and then down and also inside to righties. He also added 2 to 3 inches of drop on that sinker. So now we're talking under 2 inches of vert, which is amazing for a sinker. That is so good. And no wonder the pitch had 16 whiffs. That's insane. A sinker with 16 whiffs is unheard of, but the only way you can really get that is if it's a misclassified four-seamer that is actually getting vert upstairs, like Josh Hader's or something like that, even though that is a sinker, but you understand what I'm saying. Maybe like Andrew Heaney's in the past or Steven Matz's. Or you throw really hard and you get a ton of drop and you keep the ball under the zone. That's what Soriano did. He also had this curveball that backed it up beautifully for 13 out of 28 called strikes. And he really cares about the slider that I've been talking about for ages if those two pitches are working. Thing is, Soriano generally doesn't have things working like this. And for us to bank that it is going to happen now, yeah, no, he gets the Yankees next. I would not start Soriano for that. But this was awesome. This was the potential that we've been searching all season for from Soriano, and that's great. Shane Smith against the Astros got the win. 6 innings, 1 run, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. He got a bit singled out on this, and honestly, I didn't really love the secondaries at all. I think that's something he still needs to develop. And the nine base runners in six innings kind of deserved. It's a 96 mile per hour four seamer throughout the start now, which is great. He's added that, but I feel like he still is getting away a bit with a good amount. And he got a win on the White Sox, by the way, which is kind of shocking. He gets the Rangers next. I'm cool with that. He gets at Toronto as a righty. That's cool. He gets the Giants next. That's fine. Hopefully by the end of that, Shane Smith is showing that kick change looking great and also sliders working really well against lefties. If that's the case, then maybe we start him against the Dodgers. We'll see. We have other guys to talk about, including Sawyer, Gibson, Long, oh my gosh, and many others, and we'll talk about all of them after this break. Slates and Sony, the Reds carpet did well. That's great. Eight strikeouts. I am not in against the Giants in Oracle Park. I just don't think that the Breakers are going to go 26% swing strike rate again with seven strikeouts. While he allowed three hits only on nearly 50 heaters thrown, I just don't think that's the case. Sorry. You have Brandt Herter opening for Chase Lee for an out. And because the Tigers had the win or started getting the win at the end of that inning between Chase Lee and Sawyer Gibson Long, the win goes to Chase Lee. It is a stupid rule, but that's why Sawyer Gibson Long got a hold and not a win for going 4.2 innings, one earned run, three hits, zero walks, and five Ks against the Orioles. He only did it in 51 pitches. And please just let Sawyer Gibson Long start and be stretched out properly. I also got really upset that they just pulled him when they did too. I don't get it. I think all of you understand my love for Sawyer Gibson Long now, but I'm not going to take credit because this is different than the Sawyer Gibson Long I expected. Yes, I expected the changeup to be there. Yes, I expected the extension to be there. But this was four seamers at 94, 95, even hitting 96. He's a 92, 93 guy. That's what he was before. And even was like 91 and 90 in his final rehab starts. So that's a new thing. He didn't really lean into the sinker. He didn't get many right-handers in this one too. And I don't think the sinker command was that good. He did get outs on it. Three out of four balls in play were outs. One of them was a hit. It was an inside sinker to Luzardo that he fisted off into center field. Fine. But the slider wasn't really incredible. I mean, it was really a changeup just dominating with his four-seam that was doing really well too to lefties as he faced mostly lefties. And that's great. And I'm happy that everyone is getting in on the train saying like, oh, cool, this isn't just like a bad pitcher or something. Now, I don't know if he's going to get that sinker back that he used to have with the drop that he used to have. He's still about 2 to 3 inches, actually really 3 to 4 inches off from that former sinker, which is annoying to say the least. But if he gets it down enough with that extension, still should be really good. The added velocity is at 93 on that sinker. That's fine. Show me 95 almost on the four-seamer. Go upstairs with that. You have a flat attack angle. All this stuff is really good for Sawyer Gibson Long, and the fact that he has such a good feel for the changeup is very encouraging. So, yeah, we just keep rolling with this, and he gets the Reds carpet next, so that's really cool. Ace is going to ace for Max Fried, everything per usual here. I want to give Ace is going to ace for Mackenzie Gore, but the slider was a little bit off, and the curve and change were good but not absurd, but they were doing what they needed to do. He's also at 95, not 97, but he destroyed the Mets, and he gets three starts ahead. Two of them are the Dodgers and Padres. Can I just wait until the end of that to give him aces and ace? Cool. Brandon Fott got lucky, 10 base runners in five innings, and he only led 200 runs, and he's just not doing an attack plan against lefties that are like, cool to see sinkers in the inner half, though, but yeah, we don't want to do this. Carson Palmquist has a lot of extension, and he was in Coors, and he hosted the Giants, four innings of 200 runs, and we don't want to go for him. Mitch Keller, six innings, 300 runs, eight hits, zero walks, and four Ks. And you have to ask yourself, why do I want this in a 12-teamer? You don't. He did get 17 whiffs, though, and a 40% CSW, which is really cool against the Marlins, but still really cool as a righty. Slider and sweepers were heavy utilized against right-handers. That's a good thing. And he also got a ton of called strikes on heaters, 15 over 41 and nine whiffs on those breakers. So that's really how he got this one done, and I like that approach against right-handers, but you see, even when he does all these right things, he's still too hittable. That's annoying. Ryan Pepiot, speaking of annoying, 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts, and he actually had a really good game plan against lefties. Those four-seamers upstairs and changeups down, and that was cool, and he actually has an embrace for the cutter against lefties, which I'm all for, but the slider, what is going on with this thing? Is it a real slider? Is it not? I don't know. He also didn't have the best locations of those changeups to help against righties. He did go against along the edges, but wasn't as precise and consistent as it was the lefties. He was sitting 96, though. He pretty much survived against Fenway. You should be happy with Ryan Pepiot. Grant Holmes look, 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 9 strikeouts. Very similar to Pepia, but what he's doing is he finally started throwing curveballs against lefties, and they were successful. 6 over 20 whiffs, 50% CSW. The curveball's back! And the slider's great, too! And the four-seamer kind of isn't quite as commanded as I want it to be, but this is good! And I just want Granholms to have that curveball and slider working moving forward. He's a tick up on the fastball from last year. He gets the Mets. That is definitely risky. But I hope that we see the curveball back again because that can be a massive, massive shift in the right direction for him. Kyle Harrison went into Coors, and there's good and bad here. The bad, of course, is that 300 runs in 5 innings and 6 base runners. The good, there were 6 Ks, but the changeup, oh my gosh. Kyle Harrison has been a guy that I really love his four-seamer upstairs, like a 70% plus strike rate. And it's a very, very flat attack angle. Awesome. But really, it's the fact that this one was that the changeup was so good. It was 70% strikes down and away to right-handers consistently. Oh my gosh. If that is actually real, I would expect Kyle Harrison to have a better four-seamer upstairs in future starts. And I don't really care about the curve at that point. I mean, just have it enough for lefties, I guess. But that is the best changeup I've seen from Kyle Harrison. Now, maybe the thinner air helped it. I don't know. Also, this was 87 pitches for Kyle Harrison. It really bothers me that maybe Verlander returns next week. Ugh. I hope that Harrison sticks around. It's the Dodgers next, so you don't need to do anything. And then let's say Verlander's back after that. Then it'll be the Red Sox and White Sox. So pink laundry for 2 starts. But yeah, we can not focus on this. We'll see if the changeup is around against the Dodgers next. Mick Abel went against the Cubs, 4 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. I like him a lot. I think the command is actually really, really good. The changeup is lacking a bit, and he needs to do better with his slider to right-handers. But he gets the Marlins next. I am very much in on that, and I think the runway is good here because Aaron Nola is not recovering as quickly as he wants to, and and Andrew Painter is going to be here post All-Star break, and he's also been kind of bad lately. So those that would kick out Mick Abel are not ready to kick out Mick Abel. So we might see at least like 3-4 more starts, and who knows what the rotation is like when that time arises. So I think you should be grabbing Mick Abel and rolling with this one, especially against the Marlins, and we can kind of take it from there. It is a tougher schedule after that. Chris Bassett went 7 innings of 400 runs, got a win, 6 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. The curveball is a 43% strike rate. I am not in there. Tyler Malley just had a day locating his heater, and that's that. I don't think that this is going to be the case. He got singled out a little bit, 5.2 innings of 400 runs, 10 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. He got the win because the Twins absolutely demolished Simeon Woods Richardson for 600 runs across 4.2 innings. You don't need to go for that one. But I would continue holding on to Malley as he has the White Sox and Pirates next. Griffin Canning against the Nationals. Now, he's not as good against lefties as against righties. The changeup works really well against righties, and that slider has been down and really effective. And I think that might be it, because the list curse is very real, duh. But no, I think that this was a left-handed lineup that really took advantage of the fact that Canning's worse against lefties. And I've noticed it took me so long to notice this, but across 13 starts now for Canning, only 4 of them have been under a 1.4 whip. He's returned a 1.4 whip in 9 of his 13 outings now. That's something to consider here too. Once again, I'm going to yo-yo him on the list, and I hate myself for it, but focus Canning against right-handed lineups and not so much against lefties. I think that's just a general rule of thumb that'll make you happy. You have Logan Evans against the Diamondbacks, and of course that didn't go very well, and he's probably not going to be in the rotation next with Logan Gilbert facing the Red Sox at Seattle. I don't really want to do it. Okay. Lance McCullers, yeah, he's a hipster. He didn't do well against the White Sox. 5 innings, 400 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 6 Ks because he couldn't throw strikes with anything, and there you go. He would sometimes throw strikes, and then they'd be completely off the plate. Yeah, this is who he is. You know, there's not much more I can say. If you want to go and chase strikeouts, that's it. But otherwise, yeah, expect these kinds of downturn or bad outings along the way. Colin Ray against the Phils, 4.1 innings of 400 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. At least it was 94-95, and he gets the Pirates next, so that's cool. But this was against the Phils. We didn't want Colin Ray for that. Anyway, Cade Povich against the Tigers, 4.2 innings of 500 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. He does have a clear game plan for both. So it is against right-handers, four-seamers, changeups, and curveballs. And then lefties get sinkers and sweepers. there's still room to grow, making these pitches a little bit better, having better command with them. I think this is a process, and even though the Tigers aren't as good as they used to be, I think that Kapovich needs to squeeze out a little bit more with these offerings before we can really jump in. Miles Michaelis isn't very good, and he shouldn't start him, even though it was a righty against the Jays. 5 innings of 6 runs, so no thank you. And Noah Cameron didn't pitch so badly against the Yankees. I gotta say, 5.2 innings, 600 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks, sure, whatever. But now he actually might get a better schedule than expected, because it's the Rangers or Athletics next, and then it could be actually the Rays and in Seattle after, instead of the Dodgers and Padres. Because they might go six man. We don't really know what's going on with the Royals at the moment. It does seem like they're going to continue with Noah Cameron. And I am all for starting him either against the Rangers or Athletics. As Athletics would not be in Sacre Verde, it would be actually in Kansas City. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.